Dedicate one to the ladies.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Two in the books, one to go, all that fancy jazz. I don't know. He's got a lot of good ones. I just can't do them good. But if you want to get in touch with the show, 713-780-ESPN. That is our telephone number. You can also text that number, 713-780-3776. You can also tweet us, at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny. No Joseph Blank today. He is chilling at the crib with his fam. Made that as young as sounding as possible as I could. Holiday slaps. I don't know.
He's officially on the Thanksgiving vacation.
He is. We asked you guys if you wanted to, and I'm not reading them all because some of them are silly and ridiculous, as you could predict. But, you know, instead of hearing what you're thankful for, we wanted to know what you're not thankful for, because I don't care what you're thankful for. I want that Thanksgiving Day hate and vitriol to come out of you. So what are you not thankful for? We've had plenty of different things. Donna said, I'm not thankful for that dang refinery in Mid-County that's still on fire and exploding.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No, I don't think I'd be thankful for that either, but I don't know where that is. But, man, I hope everybody's safe.
Probably closer to to B-Town, right?
Probably. I'm not thankful for browsing history, but I am thankful for the incognito window. Yep. 1,000% on board with that. 1,000%. I do want to give a shout out to Angel and his new niece, Aaliyah Elizondo, born on the 25th.
Congratulations.
So happy birthday to Aaliyah. Welcome to this godforsaken planet. Hope it gets better for you. I'm not thankful for having to eat Thanksgiving food at three different houses all damn day. See, your parents never divorced, right?
They did not.
My parents got divorced when I was six. So I always had two Thanksgivings and two Christmases. When you're eight, that's cool. When you're 38, not as cool.
No. I can see why you'd have to go through that. I don't know how I would go. I mean, you're right. If I was younger, obviously it wouldn't bother me. But now I can't go 2-3 days straight. Actually, I probably could, but let's be honest. I just would pay the price.
See, your big ass could eat. It's not the food.
It's what happens after.
It's all the travel and the driving around, and then, you know.
You're getting tired.
There was one point with my ex-wife so her parents are divorced, okay? So I'm married with my two families because of divorce, and then I'm married to a woman who has two families because of divorce. So on Thanksgiving, once we went to all four houses in one day. And I told my ex-wife, I would never do that again. That was ridiculous. First of all, that's too much food. Second of all, it's too much driving.
Too much driving.
Yeah. And it's too much family. I love family and I love my family, but I don't need to see all of them in all one day. We can space it out.
I'll go to like one, maybe two, if that's the case. But I will. There's no way I'd go to more than two.
So now where we're at is my wife and I don't even see each other on the holidays, on Thanksgiving. She goes with her family, and I go with one of my families. I've gotten to the point where I'm like, all right, I was with mom last year. I'm going to be with dad this year. But I have not seen my wife on Thanksgiving Day in probably 10 years.
That's weird. She's okay with that?
I mean, we're both okay with it because she don't really want to go, and I don't want to go. So we're like, yeah, you go to your family, I go to my family. You know, and then now what I did do is I told my parents from now on, I'm going to start rotating in Thanksgiving with her family as well. So now it's going to have to be like I've got a 3-year rotation where I'll go my mom 1 year, my dad 1 year, and then Nora's family 1 year.
Well, at least your family's cool with it. I would imagine there's a bunch of families out there that are not okay with that.
They did this, not me. They're the ones that couldn't get along and love each other. That's not my fault, okay? It's not my fault that y'all couldn't love each other and you created this horrible mess. So you got to deal with it. All right? Why do I got to drive all over the city of Houston? Because you two couldn't stay married. Now, I'm being punished? I don't think so. Now, I've never told them that.
Of course not.
I hope my mom's not listening today.
She's definitely
listening. She does listen a lot. But yeah, that's not the fun. That's a not. I'm not thankful for split households around Thanksgiving and Christmas. Now, two Christmases is cool because we usually just switch it up. Like, we'll do my dad's on Christmas Eve and we'll go to my mom on Christmas Day.
I thought Christmas was more stressful.
No.
I figured the rotation would be...
Gifts don't make it as stressful. If you're getting more presents, that's cool. Because then what you do is, what we figured out is we're like, all right, we're going to draw names. But then we still get a lot of gifts from two families, but we only have to buy for one name at each. So it works out in our favor, in the kids' favor. Not the parents' favor, but the kids. But again, you did this, not me. So blame yourself for not getting as many gifts. Right? All right, what does Travis want to tell us he's unthankful for? Travis, what's up, man?
Hey, man, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Travis.
I'm unthankful for the idiot Mayor Turner who can't take care of the firemen like the voters voted on.
All right. Thank you for...
That's what this was about.
Yeah.
What you're not thankful for, and that's not what he's thankful for.
Made it political, but that's okay. My brother-in-law is a firefighter, so I'm not gonna weigh in one
way
or
the other. Firefighters.
But I will tell you, they're not happy.
And, pay him some respect and pay him some money.
My brother-in-law Shane is a HFD guy.
Does he feel the same way about? I mean, obviously he has some sort of feeling. He's expressed that.
Oh yeah.
He shared his anger with you.
Oh yeah.
Did he yell? Was there vulgarity?
He's one of the. No, surprisingly, he's like a very calm guy. And I feel like most firefighters have to be, right? Like, you can't be a guy that panics under pressure and be a firefighter.
There's a fire right in front of you.
Your whole job is pressure.
Yeah.
Right? So you can't be like, yeah, you know, I tend to freak out under pressure and crack and lose my head. Oh, cool. Let me rush into this burning building with babies in there and try to save them. You're like, I just grabbed a plant. I didn't know what to do. Like, bro, you left the babies. Yeah, but I got this plant. All right, I freaked out. My bad. He's very calm, and he's not happy with the
mayor. He shouldn't be.
Yeah. Pay the firefighters. Pay the police.
For sure.
That's not too much to ask. Where did it go? Oh, so I saw this other article online about, you know, and we're going to talk Texans Patriots at 3:30. Sarah Barshop's going to join us, so we're going to have plenty of opportunity to talk to her about that. I did think this, though, I want to get to this article about the draft class and Pro Football Focus graded all of the 32 first round picks.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. But real quick, I was looking at the schedule. All right. Now you've got three games tomorrow. You've got Chicago, Detroit at 11:30. You've got Buffalo at Dallas at 3:30 on CBS. And then you have NBC's game, which is the Saints and the Falcons at 7:20. Some decent football, I guess. Chicago, Detroit doesn't do it for me. The Buffalo-Dallas game might be okay.
And then the Saints-Falcons, I mean, what do you expect there? I mean,
yeah. I mean, I know Atlanta has their, you know, their signature win this year, if you want to call it that.
That's not the best Thanksgiving slate.
It's not. But I was looking at the schedule, and you've got San Francisco-Baltimore on Sunday at noon on Fox, right? And then you've got Houston-New England is the seven. It's the Sunday night game. Do you think, because I know they have the flex schedule, what game would you rather see at primetime right now? Would you rather see Houston, New England, or would you rather see Baltimore, San Francisco? Taking out the fact that we're all Texans fans and yay, rah, rah, go home team and all that crap.
I think if everybody outside of Houston would probably go for the Baltimore, San Francisco game.
I would agree. And I don't know exactly how flex scheduling works. And this is where Joseph comes in handy because he did all that for 20-plus years with the Rockets.
Right.
But I'm just curious as to why, if the NFL had the opportunity to flex to Baltimore, San Francisco to Sunday night, why they didn't.
Yeah, because that would be – I mean, for me, you know, obviously I'm a Texans fan, but I would, you know, I'm going to watch and pay attention to that game. A win by the Texans over the Patriots would absolutely be huge.
Sure.
But – you got to wonder if the 49ers can stop what the Ravens and particularly Lamar Jackson can do from a rushing standpoint. Because really, to me, there really hasn't been an answer for the way he's been able to rush the ball. Especially when you consider the fact that I think he's in the 80s. He might be just in the high 70s. But he might even be in the 80s in terms of average yards that he rushes per game. You got to be able to take that away, because you got to wonder what this Ravens team is when you take out the rushing that Lamar Jackson brings to the table. You got to see and test him and see what he can do if he throws the ball. Can he get the offense involved in other ways and hit his receiving core? And that's got to be the biggest challenge if you're San Francisco. I want to know what kind of game plan the 49ers are going to come up with to stop a Ravens team that essentially almost no one has been able to stop. I mean, they beat the Rams. The score was pretty darn close between the Ravens and the Rams as it was between the Ravens and the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an absolute beatdown. And to me, if you're just a fan who doesn't have a stake in the game, I think you'd want to know what the Ravens could do against the 49ers or vice versa.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's going to be interesting because we keep hearing all year, and rightfully so, we've been hearing about this 49ers defense.
Right.
And we hear about how good. I mean, they're only giving up 168 yards passing.
Right.
They're giving up 111 yards on the ground, only 168 yards passing. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Those kind of numbers. Now, you look at that and you look at the Ravens, they're only giving up 87 yards rushing a game. So I do want to see what Lamar Jackson and this Ravens offense, who just really put it on their last two opponents in the Rams and the Texans, are they going to be able to do that to the Niners? And we talked about the fact that there are those games that you see are those stretches of games where you're going to find out what a team really is like. And we talked about with the Texans, they've got to play the Ravens, the Colts, and the Patriots. If they win this game against the Patriots, then I think we know what the Texans are. Same thing with the Ravens, though, man. If the Ravens beat the Niners and they have beat the Texans, Rams, and Niners all in a row, I don't know if you can't say that the Ravens aren't the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl this year after that kind of run. This team is that good. And there's, you know, I've seen articles where they've got, I think the Patriots were, you know, one, are still the favorite. But the Patriots haven't had as difficult of a schedule, number one, because of the division they play in. I hesitate to say it, but I think this Ravens, if they win this game, I think they're the best team in football right now.
I think the good thing about the Ravens, too, is they have just enough time left in the schedule, Barry, to go through some adversity prior to going into the postseason. And for mm-hmm. me, I don't know why it's just big. You don't want this amazing run in the last part of the season, and then you go into the postseason and you see some adversity, and then it's like the wrong time to not be able to adjust. Have that bad game within the last two or three games of the season and then carry that over.
Get it out of the way,
into the
right?
postseason. That's what I would. I would feel better if I was a Ravens fan.
Go lose to the Jets on accident.
Something.
Yeah. And get, you know? Boy, that would be awful, wouldn't it? They get bounced in their first game of the playoffs.
But you know what? If they
lose the divisional round?
It would be terrible. It would be a complete disappointment. But if they lose to a team like the Jets late in the season, yeah, it's going to be an embarrassment. But you know what? They can say, you know what? They had a bad game. And they had a bad game against the Jets. Yeah. You know?
No big deal. Didn't affect them.
The Jets, as bad as they are, they've beaten a good team before.
Yeah, well, I mean, hell, the Ravens lost to the Browns earlier in the year. So it wouldn't be like, you know, it was our first bad loss. So, all right, we got plenty more of the show. We'll be back right after this. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. It's your time.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. It's The Usual Suspects, and we have two and a third in the... No, two and a quarter.
Just stop trying. You're not Joel.
Yeah.
You're not
Thank
Joel.
God.
You're not.
Thank
you're as
God.
Big as Joel, but you're
no,
not.
All bitch. It's on now.
But you're not Joel.
I know I weigh less than Joel. Not maybe
no,
this week.
It's about the same. It's about the same. There's probably a 5 or 10 pound discrepancy
Joel has
between
more,
both of
no,
you fat asses.
5 to 10 pounds, bitch.
At the most.
I will come through that glass and fight you right now.
First
I'm sure
you
of all,
could.
He's taller than me. Second of all, he's wider than me. Third of all, he has more muscle than me.
You have bigger double chin. You have two, your second chin is bigger than his
Are
second chin.
Are you telling me that
you have
my,
bigger boobs? You're probably a C or a D cup. He's probably a B at
no.
the most.
You're telling. Well, hold on. No. Back up. I don't care about the boobs. You're saying that my chins are worse than his?
The second one.
Well, but he's got third, fourth, and fifth chin. I just have second chin. Like, when he does his neck...
I'm thankful for Joel Blank.
He's got five smiles. Each chin makes its own smile. It's pretty awesome.
Man, Joel was being nice to us yesterday.
He said he was so angry that we talk like this without him. I feel like y'all do this without me, so I don't...
I think that's normal, though. Whoever's not here is not... You can't defend yourself, so boom.
We're just thankful when you're not here, so we don't even... We're just like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I'm sure that happens every time I'm not here.
Somebody said, Barry, are you sure that the Baltimore Niners game is... I didn't say that that's going to be the game that gets televised. I said they're playing at noon. I'm saying that that should be the flex game for Sunday night.
We're saying, basically, that that game would be the more... If we had to choose between the two, that was the whole discussion.
Yeah, they're saying the Colts-Titans game is the one scheduled, which that makes sense because it's a divisional game. What I'm suggesting, and the point I was trying to make, which I obviously apparently didn't do well enough, was... I don't think that the Texans-Patriots game should be the Sunday night game. I think Ravens-Niners is a better matchup, a better game. And that should have been flexed into Sunday night at 7:20.
Correct.
That's the only point I was making. So. Yeah. And then there's other people talking about flex, but we've moved on.
We've moved on from the flex scheduling. Joel is kind of that guy, too. So
what?
Because he's done flex scheduling in the NBA. Like, he has knowledge. Or, like, he has knowledge about flex scheduling.
Correct. Somebody said, I'm not thankful for all this damn construction. Even on the weekends, y'all ain't fixing bleep. Give us a damn break.
Nobody likes construction. I'm starting to see a little bit more on 59 now. I've been very proud of the fact that I can get off at 4 o'clock and essentially be all the way in most city in about 25 minutes. But now there is some more construction, so I completely agree with you.
You're so lucky. It literally takes me an hour to get home.
I know.
An hour.
I remember engineering whatever poker room up north. Uh-huh. And I was like, and I was texting you about potential like shortcuts and how I could get there from here because I knew I had to eventually get on 45. And I just remember basically yelling at you for something that wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
And saying, I can't believe you make this drive. You're an idiot.
Yeah. I remember.
45 doesn't like to move. And I'm not talking about the highway itself, I'm talking about the cars. On the damn highway.
Right.
They don't like to move.
No. It's
bad. Like 2 inches an hour.
It's bad.
It's ridiculous.
It sounds like date night. 2 inches an hour.
See?
Rob sent me a tweet. Barry, the fire in Mid-County is at a chemical plant and not a refinery. Also, I'm not thankful for disinformation. Well, Rob.
That wasn't us. We're going to throw Donna under the bus.
You know what I'm not thankful for? Petty-ass tweets, Rob. Petty-ass tweets. I'm not thankful for those.
The point is, there was a fire by her house, yes. And she wasn't appreciating it.
That's it. That's okay? All I read. And if there was a chemical plant, I heard now that there's been a second explosion. So, obviously, I hope everyone is okay. I hope they were able to evacuate. Not ideal, obviously. But, Rob, there was no intent on our part to disseminate misinformation. Okay? Settle down. So we talked about football, right?
We talked a little football.
And I know we got to get this in because Joel would be chomping at the bit to do this. But did you watch any of that Clippers-Mavs game last night?
I did not. I just saw some of the highlights.
I watched it. Mavs looked bad. In fact, so bad, Doncic didn't even meet with the media after the game. He chose not to meet with the media, which I'm like, look, if you're going to be the darling of the NBA and everyone's already talking MVP, bro, when you lose, stick around and talk to the media. Be upfront about it. Be a man about it.
Yeah, and he's going to have to
don't
learn
run
that.
And be chicken because you had a bad game. All right? But I didn't even want to bring that up necessarily. I'm bringing up the fact that the power rankings for the NBA, you know, they come out every week and they're like, the title was Lakers, Bucks, and Nuggets are rolling. And here comes Luka Doncic, right? So they've got the Lakers at 1, no surprise. They moved the Bucks up from 4 to 2. So they have the Bucks as the second best team in the NBA right now. Clippers at 3, Denver Nuggets at 4, and the Celtics at 5. They have the Rockets at 6. After losing 3 in a row to pretty much most of the teams ahead of them, right?
Yes.
And then you've got Jazz, Sixers, the Mavericks at 9, and the Miami Heat at 10.
Who the Rockets are playing tonight.
Yeah. So with that being said, you've got, we talked about the Rockets and their difficulty in playing teams that are good. And I think it's fair to say that the Miami Heat thus far are pretty good.
Yeah, they're a good team. I mean, they're
12-4, second in the East, 10th in the power rankings, although, aside everything else, people think the Celtics and the Sixers are probably better than them, and I would tend to agree with that. But right now, sitting at 12-4, if the Rockets lose this at home,
it's going to be the reason why I think it's going to be so bad. Number one, you're not going to get the respect. I don't know where you fall in the rankings after that. But you got to remember the team that they're playing tonight in the Miami Heat, they have really two good wins, and one of them is against the Rockets. Mm-hmm. The other is against the Bucks. And so you have to beat this team because according to these power rankings, this is a team that you're supposed to beat.
Uh-huh.
And there should be no reason for that. So I think it would be the beginning of a big concern, not a panic, in the event they lost tonight, because you do not want to lose to a team like the Miami Heat because you should be better than them.
At home. Right.
It's not going to be an embarrassing loss because it's not like they're a terrible team.
But you move to 11-7, you will have lost to the Nuggets, Clippers, and Mavericks, and now it's another team that rolls in. What I tell you guys, they had two wins against teams with a winning record. Of their 11 wins, two have been against teams with a winning record.
You're talking about the Rockets.
Yeah.
Yes. I thought you were talking about
their six losses, four of them, or all of them, have been against teams with at least a .500 record or better. So they're losing. They can't beat good teams is what it says so far. And so this is another test, and you get them at home, whereas you were on the road in Denver. You were on the road for the Clippers. You did come home and lose to the Mavs. Kind of got to stop the bleeding here. And I'm not suggesting that this is a long-ass season. I sure get it. But you don't want to be losing these games early to a team that you should be beating in the Miami Heat.
If that translates into the All-Star break or goes into the second half of the season, it's really not what you're looking for right now.
And when you're still trying to find your chemistry and you're still trying to figure out what are you defensively, I think you kind of know what you are offensively. But this is about the time you got to start paying attention. And I know that, Joel keeps bringing it up and you brought up the 20 games, but I think this is about the time where, all right, you guys have had enough games together to start getting this figured out.
Sure. You should be essentially in shape if you weren't in shape. Because let's be honest, a lot of NBA players are not in shape. They actually get in shape about 5 or 10 games into the season.
Yeah.
It's just the reality. It's a part of the reason why you see a lot of these hamstring injuries and a lot of these leg injuries that you really weren't seeing in the past because they're just not getting their bodies ready in the offseason. At this point, you should be in game shape. You've had a decent amount of games under your belt with Russell Westbrook and Clint Capella and some of the role players that you expect might be a part of this team as the season progresses and goes into the second half of the season. We do expect some moves from the Rockets. Let's be honest. Yeah. I don't need a 20-game sample size to know that there's going to be some adjustments, whether or not they're the right ones or not, but there will be. There's going to be some additions and some subtractions to this roster, and it's inevitable. But I think that's super important because we know what the good teams are. We're starting to see, the teams that we expected to be good teams are actually good teams. We expected the Clippers to be a good team. Some people are down on the Lakers, but I still expected them to be a good team and be in the playoffs. We expected the Rockets to be a good team. We expected the Mavs to be a much better team with Luka and Porzingis, even though Porzingis has not necessarily found his stride yet, but he's getting there.
Yeah. They were talking last night about how he's going to have to get tougher.
Right.
He's going to have to toughen up a little bit. Yeah,
Utah.
Denver. Yeah.
All these teams, we knew that we expected them to be good. And so you have to be competitive at the very minimum, especially in the Western Conference where you're playing them more. In the Eastern Conference, you're playing these teams maybe two times. Western Conference is a good possibility. You're playing them 3 or 4 times. You don't want to do that. You don't want to lose to a team. You don't want to lose a series in the regular season to a team like that, especially if they're full force. If they're injured, that's even worse.
You going tonight?
I'm thinking about not going, to be honest with you.
I don't blame you.
I was considering going.
Your vacay.
I'm going to start my vacay, man.
All right, coming up next, we've got Sarah Barshop. She's going to talk Texans Patriots with us. So we will get to that and more. We've got 30 minutes left in the show. Stick around. We'll be right back. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, like a bomb.
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. 30 minutes on the clock until the Blitz takes over. Joining us now on the show, as she normally does on Fridays, but I reached out to her because we've got Thanksgiving and then Black Friday, and we're off for the next couple of days. But I wanted to get her in to talk Texans-Patriots. It's, of course, the beat writer for the Houston Texans for ESPN.com, Sarah Barshop. Sarah, thank you for being with us today.
Of course. Great to talk to you guys.
Yeah, and thanks for moving it up. I know it was last second, but I do appreciate you doing that. Well, let's get to it. You know, I was talking about the fact that it's another primetime game for the Texans, and that's great, and it's against the New England Patriots. I kind of thought that the NFL would flex up the Ravens and the Niners, but it's good luck for the Texans to get another primetime game.
Yeah, especially the way Deshaun Watson plays in primetime. I was just looking at the stats, and he's had a lot of success when he has played in primetime. So that's always, you know, it's against the Patriots, so we'll see how that goes this week. But that's another chance for them to showcase Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, for a team that in the past hasn't always been in the spotlight in those prime time games.
Yeah. Have you heard anything on the injury front about Bradley Roby and Lonnie Johnson Jr.? I know they've been questionable. Is there an update on both of them and Carlos Watkins?
After talking to Bill O'Brien today, I got the sense that Roby is going to play. He said that Bill said that he's on track. He's trending in the right direction, as he likes to say, to play on Sunday. Not sure about Lonnie Johnson. And I was just looking at the injury report, and I believe Carlos Watkins did not practice with a hamstring injury.
Okay. All right. So now going into this, Texans are a 3-point underdog at home. But this is a Patriots team that's a little different than what the Texans have faced in the past, because this is a Patriots offense that isn't, you know, a typical Patriots offense. The defense is playing outstanding, but this is a Patriots team that they have to stop you because, as it looks, they're not able to hang with a lot of these more prolific offenses in the NFL right now, at least. What are your thoughts on this matchup and what the Texans are going to have to do defensively against Tom Brady and the Patriots?
I think what really stood out to me was when I was looking at their run game, and they're averaging 3.4 rushing yards per attempt, which is the lowest in the Belichick-Brady era, so since 2001. And I haven't watched a lot of the Patriots this year, but just I had looked at their record and had just assumed, like, yeah, they've played some low-scoring games, but their defense is just very good. I didn't realize until I looked at the stats this week just how poorly that offense has been playing. I saw that Tom Brady, since week four, has had one of the worst, like, total QBR ratings in the league. So it's a shame for the Texans that they don't have J.J. Watt, that this defense has not been playing as well this season. But maybe that will give them the break, and maybe it's, yes, the Patriots' defense is very good, but if Deshaun Watson can put up those numbers he's put up in prime time, maybe this is the year that they can get over that hump because Deshaun Watson can outplay Tom Brady.
Which sounds crazy to say out loud, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I saw you wrote this article for ESPN.com, and it was pretty fascinating, actually, but it was talking about Bill O'Brien being the most successful Bill Belichick protege. And I'm assuming, you got to sit down and talk with him. What was it? And I know you have the quotes in the article, but did you get the sense that O'Brien puts any stock in that at all? Or is it just something where he's like, hey, you know, this is what you guys want to talk about, but does he really, is this something that he thinks about at all?
You know, today, actually, we talked to him after the story came out. He was asked about the connection with New England, and, you know, these questions come up every year, and he said, look, I'll say this, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Like, that, obviously, I learned a lot from that place. I learned a lot from coaching under Bill Belichick. He said, but what I've taken away is that you can learn a lot somewhere, but then you have to take it to your own place, and you've got to be yourself, because trying to be someone else, you know, that doesn't work out. And I think that's part of the reason that we've seen him have more success than some of the other places. Like, he's taking a lot of the stuff that the Patriots do and the way that Belichick runs his team and the culture that they have there. He's taken a lot of that, but I got the sense today that he feels like he's kind of put his own mark on it. And yeah, they, you know, you may not look at what they've done under Bill O'Brien and think, you know, they've only won playoff game, only won one playoff game. Maybe this isn't the definition of success, but especially when you look at what other people, assistant coaches who have come from the Belichick tree have done, O'Brien, what he's doing right now in Houston is at the top of that list.
Yeah, what's crazy is he's been the most successful protege, but not against Bill Belichick, right? He's 0-5. He's never, I don't think he's ever beaten New England when Bill Belichick is there, but he still has the best winning percentage.
They played a lot. I mean, they played a lot in the last couple of years. Obviously, five times, but they've played, not including this year, it was four times in three seasons because they had that playoff game too that they lost in New England.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, it's weird, though, to hear you talk out loud and say it. But it's a fact that Deshaun Watson could absolutely outplay Tom Brady this weekend. Talk a little bit about this Texans defense. You know, the secondary has seen so many new faces and so much turnover and injuries. And what is the thought behind, what does Romeo Crennel see from this defense going forward? And what can fans expect as they start to get healthy?
The secondary getting healthy and improving is good, but if you can't get pressure on the quarterback, like if they're giving Tom Brady 10 seconds to throw, what the secondary being healthy doesn't really do a lot for you. And what you look at the pressure that they've been able to get on the quarterback since J.J. Watt got hurt, and it's not enough to really win you games. I mean, they just can't depend on this defense the way they could depend on it when J.J. Watt was getting like 16 quarterback pressures in a game, or, you know, before he got hurt. And now they're just not getting that.
What amazes me about this team, not just defensively and what they're, you know, the turnover and everything else that you've seen, but it's so funny that we talk about this offense and a lot of the praise, rightfully so, is heaped on Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. And Carlos Hyde has been a massive upgrade at the running back position, and he's really filled a role when they lost Lamar Miller. It was, what are we going to do as a team? They go out and get Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. But what's crazy is when Will Fuller is on the field, this is a completely different offense, right? And I don't know if Will Fuller gets enough credit for what he's able to do for this offense when healthy.
Oh, absolutely. When you look at the numbers, Deshaun Watson's numbers, when he has Will Fuller to throw to, I mean, it's crazy. It makes such, like you said, it totally changes the offense. But the thing is, every time, and we all know this, but every time Will Fuller and what he could do with this offense is brought up, Bill O'Brien says, yes, he's been very good, but he's got to stay healthy. And so to me, I've wondered this season, like, will they pick up that fifth-year option? Will they sign him to a long-term contract? Because he's missed so much time with the injury in his career. But I think you look at the last game and you see what he can do and you say, how can we get rid of this piece that makes Deshaun Watson and this offense so much better when he is healthy?
Do you think they'll pick up that option? Do you think they'll sign him long-term?
I think they'll pick up the option. I don't know that they'll sign him long-term before the season. I think they probably want to see if he can stay healthy another year and then make the decision after that and see what he can do if he can stay healthy for a full season.
Do you think that this team looks at Kiki QT as an option to replace Fuller just from a speed perspective, or has he pretty much worn out his welcome as well?
I don't think they view them close on the same level. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to give up on him, on Kiki, but I think what we've seen about him being a healthy scratch and just the comments that the coaching staff has made about him this year, it's not that he won't get another chance this offseason to prove himself for next year, but I think that I think if anything, they view Kenny Stills as a replacement for Will Fuller more than QT.
Now, before we get to this, you know, getting your predictions on the game, one of the things that I was thinking about this week is after you watch Lamar Jackson and what he's done and what he continues to do, do you get the sense Deshaun Watson is trying to contain himself and not go out there and try to be better than Lamar Jackson because of the comparisons and, you know, he essentially laid an egg when these two teams played? Or is that just not something that comes up? Because I worry as a fan that, oh, man, I hope Deshaun Watson's not trying to do too much to prove he belongs still in the MVP race.
You know, I don't think he does, because every time, and he could just be telling us this, but every time another good quarterback comes up, he kind of says, yeah, he's great. We're friends. It's great watching him perform. And he specifically said this about Lamar, but I'm just going to do me. Like, I don't pay attention to the MVP race. Obviously, I want to play well, but I let the media, I let you guys and the fans hype that up because I just have to focus on winning football games. Like, if we're winning games, that's what will put me in the MVP race or you know, in that conversation. So I don't think so, but I'm sure he, like everyone else around the league, is looking at what Jackson is doing and is just kind of in awe.
No doubt. All right, what is your prediction for the game this weekend? How do you see it going?
You know, I think it's actually going to be a low-scoring game for everything we said about Deshaun being, you know, having to outplay Brady. I think the Patriots' offense just isn't what it has been in the past, and I think if the Texans win, they've got to just, it sounds so cliche, but really just not make the mistakes they've been making and shooting themselves in the foot. They can't turn the ball over. Bill O'Brien came to the podium today and said, I read the stat and it kind of blew my mind. I think it's since 2001, the Patriots have more than 200 more takeaways than they have turned the ball over.
Wow.
And in those games, they've only lost like 13 of them. And then when they have more takeaways and turnovers in a game, they've only lost 13 of them. So that's an incredible stat, and he kept harping that. We've heard that from players too, so I'm sure that's his message to them this week is, if we're going to win this game, we can't have those false starts. We can't have those neutral zone infractions, and we can't turn the ball over because the team is so good. Patriots team is so good that if we're going to beat them, it can't be, we can't be making mistakes.
Excellent. That's Sarah Barshop. You can follow her on Twitter at Sarah Barshop. You can read her columns and her reports on the Texans at ESPN.com. Sarah, we appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thanks. You too.
All right, Sarah Barshop, ESPN.com. We'll be back. Last segment of The Usual Suspects right after this, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. Final segment of The Usual Suspects, and oh boy, it's going to be a goodie. Hey, before we get to it, though, I want to remind you, come join me at Twin Peaks Shenandoah this Saturday from noon to 2. I'm going to be hanging out, watching some college football, drinking some of their 29-degree beers, eating some of that delicious food. And sorry, honey, if you're listening, but I'm going to be checking out some of those beautiful Twin Peaks girls as well. And I'll be there, like I said, noon to 2. It is the Shenandoah location up there on the north side. So if you're in the area and you're bored and you want to get away from all the family that's in town, come hang out with me for a couple hours. That being said, final segment of the show, and it's already eventful.
Yeah, guess what? I'm thankful for this upcoming segment.
I'm
let me tell you.
I'm thankful for this as well. Joining us on The Usual Suspects, by the way, Barry and Nick with you, Joel out on vacation, our good buddy Juggalo Trey joining us.
In the building.
Sorry, I'm not Joel.
No, it's much better.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, you both have the same body type.
Not really.
No.
No.
That was a compliment for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm losing some weight.
Are you?
No.
Now, Trey, normally we call Joel the mic hog on this show.
Yeah.
Why did you direct three different microphones towards you? Why do you want to talk into three different mics?
I had to like count the mics in my head, and I just had the wrong mic the time you asked when I was, but then I realized this is mic one. So
yeah, Nick goes, what mic are you gonna go use? And you held up the number four and then the number three and then the number one.
Yeah,
I skipped over two.
Yeah,
so if that means anything.
Okay, you skipped over number two.
It's good to see you, Trey.
It is good to see
you,
buddy.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Are we allowed to share the announcement that the information that you shared with me in the control room?
I think so. I mean, I don't see why not.
What?
I think there's been a promotion.
Are you having a baby?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're going to be a dad.
That's true. Sorry, everybody. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. You'll have to find out this way.
Sorry to the woman that you had sex with.
No, I'm not having a kid.
Oh, you're not having a baby?
No, I was just
What is the news?
I don't know. I've been producing late hits a lot.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. But I am going to be producing The Blitz on Friday, I think.
What? it.
I think that's what's happening.
You see how this works, right? Like, when you were out, I tried to get Jugs on our show. And we were told no. You remember this?
Yes.
Remember.
We were denied. You were denied.
We were told no. And now that they need a producer, all of a sudden, how convenient that they're going to. I'm happy for you, but I just wanted you to know they did you dirty.
Well,
like we could have been doing this a long time ago.
I would have loved to have produced The Usual Suspects too, you know.
Yeah. You would have rathered produce The Suspects more than The Blitz.
I'm not gonna do that. It's like choosing your favorite child, you know?
Which happens. We discussed that already.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's a definite thing.
Didn't Joel say his mom was he was his mom's favorite?
I think he did say that out loud. That is correct.
Yeah, are you the favorite?
I remember hearing that. No.
You're not the favorite?
I don't think my mom likes any of us.
Was there a reason?
Nah, she's cool.
Yeah?
I don't think so. I was the first of her children, but okay. I don't think I'm the favorite.
And she had more after you?
Yeah, she had like two more.
Wow. I'm not going to say anything mean, but I would have been like,
are you saying because I was so fat coming out of the womb that she would not want to have kids anymore due to my weight and what?
No.
Is that what you were assuming?
No, I was just thinking that you're a rambunctious kid, and she would be like, no more rambunctious kids. That's all. Had nothing.
I was actually pretty chill.
Were you?
No.
Okay. See, every time.
That's
asking a question is the opposite. Now, I want to ask you something serious, and we tried to get this woman on the show.
Who is it?
Well, give me a second. Let me set it up.
Okay, my bad.
Jeez.
My B.
I'm so glad we're only doing one segment.
My B.
You're such an all right. There was this article that came out. Somebody asked about it earlier and wanted us to talk about it, but now's a good time. This woman named Megan from California is an Instagram influencer.
Ooh.
And she's doing this new thing called perineum sunning.
I know what you're talking about. That's so that's the worst.
What's the worst?
That's so gross.
Perineum sunning?
Isn't that where...
Do you know what the perineum is?
I have an idea, but what do you think it is? Like they're tanning their posterior.
Their butt.
Yeah.
Their beehole.
Yeah. That's so gross.
Have you attempted that?
No.
Would you?
No.
Why?
How do you know it's gross?
I don't want to burn everywhere.
I burn easy.
You don't understand. I get, third-degree burns just when I go out in the sun for, 10 minutes.
Oh, could you imagine if that was burned?
That would be the worst.
That would be. And then it peels?
Oh, why are we talking about this?
Then you got the peelings all over the house.
This is so juvenile.
It is. But do you even know what the perineum is?
No.
You don't know?
No, I've never heard that term.
You guessed.
Yeah.
I can use medical terms, right, Nicholas?
Medical terms, but you got to make sure they're medical terms.
Well, they're medical terms. And by the way, if you have kids in the car, now would be a good time. So you don't have to explain.
I think the beginning
of the segment.
We don't have
much time in the show anyway.
Do what?
We don't have much time in the show.
Yeah, we have a minute.
It's the area between the anus and the scrotum is what the perineum is.
I know what you're talking about.
The landing strip.
You can't say
what they call it. They call it the landing strip.
You can't say the normal
the
term.
T word.
Yeah,
right?
You can't say that on the radio.
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can either.
Yeah. Or it says scrotum or vulva. So just so we're clear on the
right,
which isn't a car, Trey. Yeah. I don't know if you know that or not. You drive. Don't tell people you drive a Volvo.
Yeah.
That's not the. That's not the
term.
You want to be telling people.
No.
You would never do this though.
No.
Even if it made you healthy.
I don't tan to begin with.
She says that 30 seconds of sun on her perineum was the equivalent to spending a day in the sun fully clothed. It gives you vitamin D, makes you healthy.
Gross.
You wouldn't do it?
No, zero chance. Not even if you paid me.
Really?
Yes.
If I gave you $1,000?
Nope.
You wouldn't?
We really got it. We got to go to get into the Blitz now.
I'm happy that you're getting to produce the Blitz, Trey. I really am.
Thank you.
I'm happy that I no longer can call you intern Trey. You are producer Trey.
I appreciate that.
You'll still always be Juggalo Trey.
Thank you for your patronage.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, buddy.
You too, man. Hope you have a lot of good food.
Nicholas, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and to you, producer Trey.
Thank you, Nick.
And happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there listening. We appreciate you guys, as always, supporting Usual Suspects. I hope you guys have a great holiday. The Blitz is up next. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.